booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
This is the WABC Early News. I am Frank Morano, very pleased to be sitting across from the Gracie Award-winning Juliet Huddy.
Oh, how very sweet of you. Oh, you are a talker-heavy 100, so listen, buddy.
I'm trying to slim down, though.
Stop it. We have a great, there's a lot of detail today, a lot of really good news stories we're going to be getting to. Sid is obviously in with sports at 15 and 45. Christian and Gabby, as you know, are at the controls. And in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, we have another update on the cruise lines. There are so many things that are happening with that. I worry for people who have cruise reservations in the next month, but we'll get to all that.
And
momentarily.
Absolutely. And you saw the New York City mayoral debate yesterday. Initially, it was reported that Eric Adams was not going to be participating. He did turn out to participate, so it was very interesting. We'll have some news for you from that. But this week and this weekend, the big story is going to be all about the G7 summit. And the global economy will be the focus as the G7 summit kicks off in Great Britain. President Biden and leaders of Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and Canada are all taking part. They're expected to talk about aid for countries in need and endorse a worldwide minimum tax of at least 15%. They'll also take a symbolic family photo and have dinner with the royal family. The summit wraps up on Sunday.
That's so cool. President Biden and his wife had some chill time last night in Cornwall. The two had a drink outside of their castle, shocking guests and the press who were just kind of hanging out, waiting nearby. The bilateral meeting apparently between Biden and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson certainly looks like it went great, and it also sounds like it went great. Biden said the two affirmed the special relationship between us. That's his quote. And he added that he doesn't take that phrase, special relationship, lightly. Johnson, meantime, called his counterpart a breath of fresh air.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The 10 senators are planning to present their infrastructure deal to the White House. The 5 Democrats and 5 Republicans hope it will revive bipartisan negotiations. They agreed to spend nearly $1 trillion over 5 years to improve roads, bridges, pipes, and internet connections. They say it won't increase taxes, but the White House still needs to find out how it would be paid for. The Senate is adjourned until Monday.
Well, I've definitely got some information with regard to COVID and vaccines and so forth. And we're also going to talk about a New York City financial firm that's taking the lead in following up on COVID vaccinations. Bob Brown's going to bring us that story momentarily. But first, let's talk about the official great news for Seattle. Seattle, Washington is number one when it comes to vaccinations at 78%. 78%, that's fantastic. The city was one of the first to be hit, if you recall. But don't despair, because New York City is on the precipice of a moment. I think, Frank, I know a lot of us just at one point thought, God, will this ever come? On Monday, Governor Cuomo said, of course, most of the COVID restrictions still in place would be lifted once 70% of New Yorkers over 18 have had their first dose of the vaccine. And guess what? We are just about there. As of Wednesday, 69.1% have had at least one.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Oof.
Good job. Former United Auto Workers president will spend 28 months behind bars in a corruption scandal. Gary Jones was sentenced yesterday for helping steal more than $1 million from workers to splurge on himself. The 64-year-old resigned in late 2019 and admitted to embezzling union funds. He got less time because he helped secure the conviction of his predecessor and has cooperated against others under investigation.
Well, if this is that Bob Brown story I was telling you about, it's very interesting. New York City financial firm taking the lead in following up on COVID vaccinations. We're going to get to that momentarily. But first, let's head to traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan.
Starting off the Friday morning commute, let's take a look at the ride across the Hudson. It is nice and light coming into town this morning. They've cleared away the overnight road work at both the Holland and Lincoln tunnels. And just a heads up, heading to the outbound George, they've got construction on the off-ramp to the northbound Palisade Parkway that goes till 2:30 this afternoon. And at the Verrazano Bridge, don't forget, they've got the ongoing construction, the lower deck closed heading into Brooklyn. And if you're Staten Island bound this morning, they have got a left lane shut down. This report is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Whether it's offering curbside or next day delivery for online orders, on over 160,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities. When it comes to serving you, Napa's Motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you, Jeff Fromm. I'm sorry, I did not know that was you. Joe is taking a well-deserved day off. And from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today is going to be a pretty chilly day compared to what we've been dealing with. 74 for a high, partly cloudy skies, so we should see the sun come out. It actually looks like it might be a really nice day. Tonight, Friday evening, if you have plans, go ahead and go out. 60 degrees, cloudy skies this evening, but it'll be partly cloudy after midnight. I don't see any rain on the horizon. Tomorrow looks beautiful, 71 degrees, mostly cloudy skies early on, and then partly sunny, partly cloudy in the afternoon. And it dips down into the 50s, the high 50s Saturday night. By Sunday, we're getting back up to 76 degrees again. Looks like a beautiful, beautiful day. Maybe a stray shower or a thunderstorm possible, but it doesn't look like it's something that's really going to be a bother. We will have some rain showers Sunday night, Monday morning thunderstorms, and it'll clear by the afternoon on Monday. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 63.
A Kentucky cop charged with hitting a protester in the head last year will be fired today. Louisville police say they served Corey Evans with papers yesterday. He's expected to change his plea to guilty next month. Court records show he injured the protester with a riot stick as the person was kneeling and surrendering for arrest. Evans is also accused of using excessive force during a traffic stop in 2018.
All right, this New York City financial firm taking the lead in following up on COVID vaccinations. WABC's Bob Brown has this story.
Wall Street giant Goldman Sachs requiring its employees in the United States to report their vaccination status. In a memo, workers were given until Thursday to disclose whether they got the vaccine and which shot they received. The company says the information will allow for a safer return to the workplace. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission says it is legal to ask workers about vaccination status as long as the information is kept confidential. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
Now, I wonder, Frank, how will that fly in places like Texas and Florida, where the rule is you can't, companies can't ask these questions?
Excellent question.
I guess we'll see. The CDC, meantime, is racing to get to the bottom of why 226 young boys have experienced heart inflammation after receiving the Pfizer or Moderna shots. Now, advisors are getting together next Friday, so it's not like they're actually racing, but they are trying to make a haste. Several are in intensive care. A handful are in the hospital, and still more of these young boys are dealing with lasting effects. Now, this was reportedly after the second dose of the vaccines. Obviously, the CDC is concerned, and they're meeting because they're trying to figure out if this is caused by the shots. It's still not a clear link, definitively. And by and large, these cases are extremely rare, with more than 130 million Americans doing very well after shot number two.
The International Monetary Fund is warning about the risks of using Bitcoin for everyday transactions. This comes after El Salvador became the first in the world to accept the digital currency across all businesses and to pay bank loans and taxes. The IMF says it's important to have effective regulation in place. Analysts have cautioned the move could throw the Central American country into further financial instability. By the way, for people interested in this subject, I would definitely encourage you to listen to the podcast of John Catsimatidis' interview with Brock Pierce in last night's edition of the Cats at Night show, in which they dealt extensively with the broader cryptocurrency issues.
I have to say, Brock Pierce, I mean, if I wasn't so kind of had my heels dug in about who I was going to vote for, I would have voted for Brock Pierce. I think he's excellent.
Yeah,
he's a really,
I like him a lot too. I'm not sure he totally won me over on cryptocurrency in the interview yesterday, but I certainly learned a lot in that interview.
I'm not a cryptocurrency person, but overall, the way he thinks about business and just life itself, I find very, very intriguing. I think we're going to see a lot of Brock Pierce.
I like Brock a lot. I have no doubt that you're correct.
I probably am. I'm just kidding. No, he's just a cool guy, too. I mean, he's got a really interesting story.
Absolutely.
Speaking of not cool guys, a registered sex offender spent time in prison for sexting a 15-year-old girl while he was married. You know who it is. It's not stopping disgraced New York City Pole Anthony Weiner from jumping right back onto an encryption site, the kind of place where you send a message and it immediately deletes into the ether once the recipient reads it, never to be seen or tracked down again. So is this really what a convicted pedophile should be doing while he's supposedly in a 12-step rehab program trying to deal with this kind of stuff? I'm guessing it's probably pretty low on the steps, if it exists at all on the steps. The news comes just days after Weiner brazenly announced he was going to sell some of his most famous, or should I say infamous, pictures, including the one that started all the trouble in the first place. I posted it on my Twitter, at Jet Set Juliet. It sounds really regretful, doesn't he? Sounds like he's really regretting those moments of transgression.
You know, I don't understand. He's going to sell his initial tweet as... and the Trump check that Trump wrote him as an NFT, non-fungible token. As much as I've tried, I still can't wrap my head around what a non-fungible token is.
It's basically like a digital art. So let's say that I had a tweet that just became incredibly important and was viral. And if it's my tweet, it's my property, I'm going to try to get it to be a non-fungible so that I can make money off of it.
Well, so how do you get your tweet? Let's say you have a viral tweet. How does that become a non-fungible token?
Please. You're asking me this?
You see, that's what it's very difficult for me to grasp. It's
I guess we just Google how you make something non-fungible.
Yeah, because I've had a couple of tweets that have been pretty
well, funny. I mean, it can be a picture, it can be a meme, it can be just something digital, you know, rather than something that you can hold.
I've read that they're funding a lot of media organizations through the sale of non-fungible tokens, but I still can't wrap my head around what it is. It's very interesting. All right. Keeping Up with the Kardashians is officially over.
No.
You no longer need to keep up with them, Sid. The reality TV family shared tributes on social media after last night's series finale aired. Kim Kardashian said the past 15 years have been magical, using the hashtag blessed. Her sister Khloe tweeted, she'll never be able to put into words what the show meant. Their mother, Kris Jenner, wrote she was sad it ended, but feels blessed for all the love. And so
they never have to put it into words. All they have to do is just flash a couple, $100 bills, throw it at the screen and walk away.
Well, hey, look, they were clearly providing a service that the public really wanted,
you
right?
You got it. Exactly.
All right. A man who's an expert on all forms of reality television.
That's right.
As well as sports.
That's right.
And as well as a few other things. Physical fitness.
You got it.
Anything else? Tanning.
Tanning.
Anything else I'm missing? Well, radio.
You mentioned the Kardashians. I want to tell folks to tune in to Channel 5 at 10 o'clock this morning and Channel 9 at 3 o'clock this afternoon for my Wendy Williams show appearance. And we spend a lot of time talking about Khloe Kardashian. So
oh.
There you have it.
Well,
How did it go?
I think it went well. She loved it, Wendy. She said I was all the nice compliments, and I was there for about 4 hours. So I think it went well. We'll see today when it airs on television.
That's awesome. I'm so excited.
She's awesome. She's great.
What's happening in the world of sports?
Well, let's start with the Nets. They had a chance to take a commanding 3-0 lead, Frank, over the Milwaukee Bucks, and they played a brutal game, the Nets. A brutal game, but yet still had a chance to win. That's how ugly this game 3 was. But in the end, the Bucks did edge the Nets 86-83, despite 30 from Kevin Durant. That series is now Brooklyn 2, Milwaukee 1. Here was Kyrie Irving after the game talking about the, well, good old-fashioned playoff basketball.
We made some big timely shots, which carried them forward. But we had our chances down the stretch. It was a possession-by-possession game. You know, both teams battling. So that's a good old fashioned playoff game right there.
Out west, the top seed Utah Jazz won again. They beat the Clippers 117-111. That series is now Utah 2, Los Angeles nothing. Baseball last night, well, the Yankees had a chance to sweep the Minnesota Twins. They went into the ninth inning with a 2-run lead and Aroldis Chapman on the mound, and they lost. Chapman gave up not one, but 2 home runs in a 4-run Minnesota ninth inning, and the Twins broke the Yankees' heart, broke their 2-game winning streak, 7-5 the final score, despite home runs from Stanton and Urshela. Yankees lose the game. Here's Yankees skipper Aaron Boone on moving on from this one.
Gio stings a couple balls in the gap. Same with DJ. So frustrating that we couldn't add on, especially with the quality of bats we're having. But no question, this one stings, and we got to get past it.
Yankees fell to 33-30. They're in third place inside the American League East behind both Tampa Bay and Boston. Yankees off today. That's weird on a Friday. They're back at it tomorrow in Philadelphia against the Phillies. The Mets, first place. They're back home tonight. Jacob deGrom on the mound hosting San Diego with Sid Rosenberg and Bill O'Reilly in attendance. Sports at 15-45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com and paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
And at 5:17 with traffic and transit, when Joe Nolan is away, Jeff Frum will play. Jeff, how's it looking?
Starting off the Friday morning commute, let's take a look at the ride across the Hudson. It is nice and light coming into town this morning. They've cleared away the overnight road work at both the Holland and Lincoln tunnels. And just a heads up, heading to the outbound George, they've got construction on the off-ramp to the northbound Palisade Parkway that goes till 2:30 this afternoon. And at the Verrazano Bridge, don't forget, they've got the ongoing construction, the lower deck closed heading into Brooklyn. And if you're Staten Island bound this morning, they have got a left lane shut down. This report is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Whether it's offering curbside or next-day delivery for online orders on over 160,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities, when it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you, Jeff. Hey, Frank, what's coming up in your business report?
Well, coming up in business, I am going to tell folks about consumer prices jumping far greater than expected and inflation concerns that are keeping people up at night.
All right. Well, in your Jet Set Julia travel update, I'm going to tell you about the first cruise that set sail from North America since the pandemic. It was on the Celebrity Millennium. It was supposed to be 100% COVID vaccine. Everybody on the ship had to have a vaccine. And guess what? People tested positive. We'll tell you about it coming up.
This is the WABC Early News.
The S&P 500 is at a record high after all the markets finished in the green. The gains come in spite of the highest inflation numbers reported in 13 years. The Consumer Price Index shows that prices have risen 5% from a year ago. The latest jobless numbers reported also showed that new claims continued to drop as they fell this week to about 376,000. At the close, the Dow Jones was up 19 points, the S&P gained 19, and the NASDAQ jumped 108. While the markets were in the green, online retail investors had a tough day. The original meme stock, GameStop, fell over 27% despite tapping a former Amazon head as its next CEO, while also saying last quarter's sales rose 25%. AMC also continues to fall, down more than 13% yesterday. Now, about those inflation concerns. Inflation made its biggest jump, as I mentioned, in 13 years last month. The Labor Department reports consumer prices in May were 5% higher than May of last year. That's the biggest jump since August of 2008, just before the financial crisis drove the U.S. into the worst recession since the Great Depression. So-called core inflation, leaving out volatile food and energy prices, was up 3.8% over May of 2020. Last month's consumer prices were up 0.6% over April. Juliet.
Thank you. Villagers in the towns along the Cornish coast are getting an eyeful as hundreds of the world's top leaders and their equally impressive retinues swarm these tiny little fishing villages where the G7 is being held. Locals are being bombarded by the media. Media wants to ask questions, and the locals are all too happy to talk about what a scene it is. President Biden, of course, is among the VIPs hunkering down in the Carbis Bay and St. Ives area. Press from around the world have glimpsed the Mini Beast. This is a smaller version of the tricked out armored limo in which the president usually travels, the Beast. He couldn't bring the normal sized beast, which is actually quite abnormally sized, because it simply couldn't wind its way through the ancient village streets, just too big. The nearly 20 vehicle presidential motorcade is reportedly quite impressive, though. In addition to the little beast, there are decoy limos, an ambulance, an anti-IED jamming truck, among others. But just as soon as they came in, they are quickly going to be leaving off to Geneva for the NATO summit. President Biden and his wife, however, as you heard from Frank earlier, are going to be meeting up with the Queen on Sunday, and I have more on that shortly.
The CDC is changing its mask policy again, this time saying travelers don't need to mask up in outdoor transit hubs or in outdoor spaces on ferries, buses, and trolleys. That's because the risk is low of coronavirus spreading. The CDC already said last month those vaccinated could ditch the masks outside and in most indoor places, but the federal mandate for all forms of transportation remains in effect through September 13th.
Well, as I just mentioned, Buckingham Palace has released details for the presidential visit, the Queen's 13th sit-down with the U.S. leader. The Bidens are going to be heading to Windsor Palace on Sunday, and they will be greeted in the medieval enclave's quadrangle, where the Queen and President and Mrs. Biden will watch the Grenadier Guards march. And afterwards, the three will head inside the palace to have a spot of tea. The Queen, by the way, is turning 96 on Saturday. So this is like one day before they're all supposed to sit down. And on Saturday, they're having the celebratory Trooping of the Color, which is her birthday presentation. Usually this is a huge deal. Usually this is the thing that's done outside of Buckingham Palace. And you'll see, you know, Kate and William and all the family standing there on the balcony there of Buckingham Palace. So this is going to be much smaller because of COVID. So she's, you know, she's going to be 96 years old. She's got a big weekend on Saturday. So I'm guessing this, this engagement that she's having with the president and his wife will not be that long. I would imagine. I heard you say something about dinner. Is that right?
Well, I don't remember saying anything.
Oh, I thought you said something about dinner.
No,
okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think they're just having tea. I don't think they're having any sort of like long lunch or hanging out session. But obviously things can change. You never know.
Lassie may have some competition after one Ohio dog alerted his owner he had won the state's Vax-a-Million jackpot. Mark Klein won a $1 million prize on Wednesday but didn't know of his win until his dog started barking because the doorbell rang. Klein's wife checked their Ring camera and saw guys in suits on their porch, one of which was the governor of Ohio. Klein was then able to watch the drawing announcement live with the governor, thanks to his faithful pooch. Klein says he plans to donate some of his winnings to scholarships for people in need.
Well, let's talk about the other president, since we've been talking about Biden, the other former president, actually, President Trump. He has reportedly been talking about being reinstated by the end of the year. And apparently, his friends, his allies, people in the know are saying, you know, he's kind of saying this lightly. But his words have convinced many that he could be right. A new poll shows nearly a third of GOP voters think the president, former president, will be back in office by the end of the year. So in other words, they think Biden's going to be out. How this will happen, not part of the poll, but around 29% of those surveyed think that it is likely or somewhat likely. Now, this is of the GOP. Interestingly, among all voters, both Republican and Democrat and independent, about 10% of folks employed by the government think that there is a chance that he'll be running the country by then, too.
A man in Switzerland is enjoying a round of golf 14 times over. Recently, the golfer set a Guinness World Record of playing 252 holes of golf in 12 hours. The feat was also done by foot and was 31 holes more than the previous record. The attempt wasn't just for fun. Money was also raised for Special Olympics Switzerland.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yes.
Very sweet. Time now is 5:26. Time for traffic on the sevens with Jeff Fromm.
Well, heads up, if you're heading out of the Bronx into Queens right now via the Throgs Neck Bridge, we've got a crash about mid-span, right lane blocked, and a lot of stop-and-go here coming down the Throgs Neck Expressway. So if you're Queensbound this morning, head on over to the Whitestone Bridge. You're fine right down the Hutch, all the way down onto the Whitestone Expressway, and from there you're fine right down onto the Van Wyck. Now, if you're Brooklyn-bound this morning at the Verrazano Bridge, we are seeing some slowdowns coming in off the Staten Island Expressway, some eastbound delays building right near Highland Boulevard. They've got the lower deck shut down this morning for construction, and also at the Staten Island-bound Verrazano, left lane closure across the span. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Not to be a backseat driver, but if you need to hire great people fast, you need Indeed. Sponsor a job, and you'll immediately get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, we have exciting news for folks who are looking for really good deals when flying from here in the New York City area over to Europe. A couple of new airlines are going to be starting up. And these are airlines I've never even heard of, but I've done a little bit of investigating. They actually sound pretty cool, and the deals are pretty fantastic. But first, we're going to get to your top headlines.
from around the world to around the block. This is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk on WABC.
And this is your 7 headlines in 77 seconds. I'm Juliette Huddy, continuing on with the early news after this. We have a lot of really interesting stories today, one of them being the Murdoch family. Their drama between them is heating up just in time for summer. What will happen when the patriarch, Rupert Murdoch, passes away? We're getting a good idea, and it won't please Fox News fans, potentially. A horrific attack on a charity group clearing mines from Afghanistan has ties to the royal family. And while people like Marjorie Greene and Alex Jones are very entertaining for some, for others, they are psychopaths. And actually, a new study says, yes, they are psychopaths. We'll explain. And speaking of Prince Harry acting like a real American these days, getting all litigious and threatening lawsuits over baby names. Are you athletic? You love tennis? You may have a job waiting for you a few weeks this summer at the U.S. Open. And a TikTok trend has doctors really worried. Watch out for the profi drink. Plus, the list of most livable cities in the world is out, and the U.S. did not come out on top, but I'll tell you who did. Hint, they did a really good job with the pandemic. And that is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work. I'm Juliette Huddy, the early news with Frank and me coming up next.
The rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC early news on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliette Huddy and Frank Morano.
Happy Friday, everybody. WABC early news continues. Time is 5:30. Frank, on this day, June 11th, 1939, King George VI and Queen Elizabeth, the parents to the current queen, visited FDR and his wife Eleanor at their home up in Hyde Park. Now, this was the first time a reigning British monarch set foot in its foreign colony, former colony, rather. To celebrate, the Roosevelts decided to serve the royals a true American dinner of hot dogs and beer on a silver tray, of course. Yeah, the foursome ate alongside the estate's riffraff, including cooks and gardeners and staffers. Many of the royals were not too pleased with that. The queen wasn't sure what to make of everything. So naturally, she reportedly asked Roosevelt how one is supposed to eat a hot dog. And he told her, quote, just push one end in your mouth and keep pushing till it's all gone. She ended up using a knife and fork, but her husband played along and he actually had seconds. Apparently, though, FDR's mom was very upset over all of this. She was very embarrassed, and she thought that FDR was making a mockery of the royal family.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that great?
That is great. Not as great as this. A Florida post office got an unexpected four-legged visitor. Hernando County Sheriff's deputies say a patron dropped by the post office Wednesday to mail a package when they discovered a 7-foot alligator roaming the lobby. Oh, the animal apparently wandered through the automatic front doors and decided to stay a while. A trapper was called out to safely remove the gator, and there were no injuries.
Holy smokes. Hernando County, that's pretty out there, I think. Is that Gainesville? I don't know. It's not out there. All right. So this is a Bob Brown story that I wanted to bring you yesterday, and we ran out of time. I could never imagine myself running after these wayward balls on the court here at the U.S. Open, because it is so incredibly hot when they have the U.S. Open in August. But if you're the type that doesn't mind the heat and likes a little running around, you potentially could be on court with the world's top tennis stars at this year's U.S. Open in Queens. Here's Bob.
It's time to sign up if you're interested in being a ball person at this year's U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows. Applicants must be at least 16 years old and available for both qualifying rounds August 24th through the 27th and the main draw from August 30th through September 12th. Those selected will get the chance to try out on the courts at the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center. Open applications are available online at usopen.org. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
Thank you, Bob. And by the way, the list of most livable cities in the world is out, and the U.S. did not crack the top 10, Frank. We also didn't fare horribly either. We weren't in the bottom 10. But the top spots, can you guess what the top spot would be, the city?
Well, let me guess. Is it London?
No.
Is it in Singapore?
No.
Is it in the United Arab Emirates?
No. I'm not going to let you keep guessing, because you're going to take all day here. The top spot, well, the top spots were dominated by New Zealand, Australia, and Canada. buoyed by their incredible tackling of COVID. And also, you know, just their health setup and overall handling of the COVID crisis, that became a very big deal. But the number one city is Auckland, Auckland, New Zealand, thanks to its hardcore government handling of the crisis and its enthusiastically compliant citizenry. That golden combination allowed for medieval lockdowns to basically end really fast and the economy to start chugging really early and people start getting back out there really quickly. Vienna, Austria, by the way, had been on the top of the list for years, but it actually fell to 12th place after a rough pandemic challenge.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. So who made this list?
I don't remember the exact entity, but it's done every year. And it's usually pretty, you know, they take in a whole bunch of things into account. But health seemed to be a big one, obviously, because of where we are pandemic-wise.
All right. Well, we were speaking earlier, Juliet, about non-fungible tokens. And now a rare non-fungible token is selling for a record $11.7 million. Oh. A CryptoPunk dubbed COVID Alien sold during a Sotheby's auction. A non-fungible token is a digital collectible, one that's encrypted as the original. It's secured similar to digital currencies. CNBC reports that billionaire Shalom McKenzie bought the only one of the nine Alien Punk series that wears a mask. Two of the other Alien Punk series recently sold for more than $7.5 million each.
There is just a horrifying story, and it's still breaking right now. They're trying to get the information on it down in Florida. A grandmother and her one-year-old grandson were shot and killed yesterday at a Publix grocery store. This happened in Royal Palm Beach, Florida. Royal Palm Beach, as I recall, I believe it's about, 10 or 15 miles west of Palm Beach. This is according to the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. The shooter is dead. It's a 55-year-old guy. There, at this point, the motive is completely unclear, and it's suggested, at least by the sheriff's office, that there hasn't been any relationship between the gunman and these victims. The victims' families, by the way, have invoked Marcy's Law so that they're not going to be identified, and the gunman's name is, it has been let out, but again, they're trying to figure out what is going on and why this guy targeted these two. Horrible story.
That is horrible. Horrible is the word for a lot of the traffic that some motorists are facing today. At 5:37, Joe Nolan is off, but here to give you the latest when it comes to traffic and transit on the sevens is Jeff Frohm. Jeff, how's it looking this morning?
Well, heads up, if you're heading out of the Bronx into Queens right now via the Throgs Neck Bridge, we've got a crash about mid-span, right lane blocked, and a lot of stop and go here coming down the Throgs Neck Expressway. So if you're Queensbound this morning, head on over to the Whitestone Bridge. You're fine right down the Hutch all the way down onto the Whitestone Expressway. And from there, you're fine right down onto the Van Wyck. Now, if you're Brooklynbound this morning at the Verrazano Bridge, we are seeing some slowdowns coming in off the Staten Island Expressway. Some eastbound delays building right near Highland Boulevard. They've got the lower deck shut down this morning for construction. And also at the Staten Island bound Verrazano, left lane closure across the span. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Not to be a backseat driver, but if you need to hire great people fast, you need Indeed. Sponsor a job and you'll immediately get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Jeff Frohm from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you, Jeff. Hey, Frank, what's coming up in business?
Well, I am going to be telling you a little bit about the massive budget deficit that we're facing next year and a little bit about where we are with household net worth right now.
Okay. And coming up in your Jet Set, Juliet, travel update, I'm going to tell you about some not great news from the Celebrity Millennium cruise ship, the first setting sail from North America.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Stocks were up yesterday. The S&P 500 at a record high as all three markets were up. The Dow Jones was up 19 points, the S&P up 19, and the NASDAQ jumped 108. That is in spite of concerns about inflation and numbers regarding consumer prices, which jumped to a 13-year high. The Treasury Department says the U.S. budget deficit has already passed the $2 trillion mark for this year. This is due to the rapidly expanding economy as more Americans get back to normalcy following the coronavirus pandemic. With 4 months left to go for the fiscal year, the government is on pace to come close to 2020's record of $3.1 trillion. Currently, federal government debt now stands at $28.2 trillion, which has increased since Congress allocated more than $5 trillion in stimulus to help the economy. U.S. household net worth climbed to almost $137 trillion in the first quarter. That's a 3.8% gain from the end of 2020. The increase is largely due to a surge in the stock market after the S&P 500 gained 7% for the quarter. However, household debt also rose to $16 trillion, which is growing at the fastest pace since 2006.
Is that it?
That's it, Julia.
Okay.
Jet Set, travel us away.
Fantastic. Okay, it's your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Follow me on Twitter at Jet Set Juliet. So this is, I told you I'm not drinking before our Italy trip. I want to really just, you know, get in tip-top shape, but I'm also trying to not socialize too much for just this reason. I told you recently about the Celebrity Millennium, which is the first cruise from the Celebrity line, but pretty any cruise line, that has set sail from North America since the pandemic started. Apparently, we're getting news that two people on this cruise tested positive for COVID-19 at the end of the trip. Now, the test came back positive during the end of cruise testing, which they do 72 hours before they get back into the United States. According to Celebrity, the people are asymptomatic. They are in isolation and they're being monitored by the medical team. They're doing contact tracing. They're expediting testing for everybody that was in close contact with these folks. And they're obviously monitoring the situation. So this cruise was adjusted for COVID-19 protocols. They changed everything, as every cruise has done. They've changed everything from buffets to how safety routines are conducted. All passengers were required to show proof of vaccination in addition to a negative COVID test within a 72-hour period before the ship departed from the Caribbean island of St. Martin this past Saturday. Other Royal Caribbean cruises have not set sail yet, but they are not going to require passengers be vaccinated. Royal Caribbean is the parent company of Celebrity. So they are instead going to be mandating that all passengers be tested for COVID-19. So this current vessel right now is docked in Curacao, and the passengers who tested positive are on board again. They're in isolation, and the ship is going to be returning to St. Martin on Saturday for folks to disembark. So they're not keeping everybody in isolation. But this is a big concern because you can still be exposed to COVID and still get it if you have been vaccinated. So, you know, just keep that in mind, everybody. Yesterday, also, I told you about the Friends-themed cruise on one of Celebrity's ships, the Equinox, which is a great ship. Today, another curated cruise, this time Broadway. If you're a Broadway person, I know, oh my gosh, Lauren Conley, she'd love this. What a lineup. Among the stars of The Great White Way on board, Alan Cumming and Kristen Chenoweth. I mean, you can't get any bigger. It takes place April 9th through the 14th in the waters between New York City and Bermuda on the Norwegian Gem. And an update on some news I brought you during yesterday's travel update. Florida and Texas, as you know, are banning companies from asking for proof of vaccination, and that includes cruise lines. But the CDC has told the cruise companies, you're not sailing unless the majority of your passengers are vaccinated. It is so confusing. It's created a lot of anger and anxiety for the travel industry and folks who have cruises booked this summer. Carnival has announced that it is clarifying its protocols for two of its ships that are departing from Texas in July. The company originally said it would only allow vaccinated passengers, but now it says it will accommodate a small number of unvaccinated passengers. I don't know. I'm not sure how this is going to go over with Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Anyway, down in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis has threatened $5,000 fines for each passenger asked to present proof of vaccination, as I've told you. There is one bright spot. Carnival reps issued a statement saying that they're looking at the Texas law, which provides exceptions for a business when it's implementing federal COVID protocols. So, I mean, that could mean that Carnival and other cruise lines will get a pass. Again, stay tuned. It's incredibly confusing. Exciting news for flyers. New York City area airports are getting some new airlines and routes, and I'm loving these options. First of all, Turkish Airlines is now launching flights out of Newark to Istanbul daily starting June 14th, which is cool. French B which is a budget airline out of France, as you say, Frank. They will be connecting Newark to Paris's smaller Orly Airport starting July 14th. I actually looked at the prices here. The prices are really, really good for French B. France-based La Compagnie Airlines will be flying out of Newark to Orly as well. These are all business-class jets, by the way. And I have to say, I looked at some of the pricing. I don't think it's really outrageous. It's kind of like not even really – to have a business-class seat on La Compagnie is really pretty much like you're paying for maybe just a little bit more for a Comfort Plus seat on any American airline. And over at JFK, the Italian carrier Neos is launching service to Milan, which is cool. Air Senegal connects to Dakar. And, of course, I've told you about JetBlue. They're launching their transatlantic debut with flights from JFK to London's Heathrow in August and JFK to Gatwick in September. And these flights are pretty affordable, maybe a little bit cheaper than the other deals that some of the other airlines are offering. Not that much cheaper, but you can, you know, look around. You can probably get a pretty good deal. And that's your Jet Set Juliet travel update.
Well, 5:45. Thank you, Juliet. I will stay away from cruises so as to avoid COVID. my wife and I were discussing that when we saw that headline. We had a feeling that would be the lead item in the Jet Set Juliet travel update today.
I'm so predictable.
No. I mean, it's of interest to people that want to travel.
Yeah, definitely.
So. Somebody that has been known to travel from time to time is star of stage, screen, print, and radio, the one and only Sid Rosenberg, who's got sports. What's happening, Sid?
Well, let's start with Game 3 last night. Milwaukee, the Brooklyn Nets in position to take a commanding 3-0 lead as they edge towards the NBA Finals, and they played a lousy game. But so did Milwaukee. It came down to the stretch. And in the end, the hometown Bucks edged out Brooklyn 86-83, the final score. This despite 30 points from Kevin Durant. That series is now 2-1. Brooklyn, they still have the lead over the Milwaukee Bucks. Western Conference last night, the top seed Utah Jazz beat the Clippers, Frank and Juliet, 117-111. That series now has Utah ahead of Los Angeles, 2-0. Yankees, rough one. They had a chance to sweep the Minnesota Twins, had a 2-run lead going into the ninth inning, and the usually very reliable Aroldis Chapman gave up not one but two home runs. The Twins scored 4 in their home half of the ninth and beat the Yankees 7-5. This despite home runs from Gio Urshela and a red-hot Giancarlo Stanton. It is 12th home run of the year. Again, the Yankees lose this one 7-5, but Stanton says, don't worry.
I mean, throughout these long years, you're going to see a lot worse than tonight some nights. Just having to lead most of the game, it is a bit unfortunate, but, you know, we got another one in 2 days, so we'll be all right.
Yankees off today. They're in Philadelphia for the Phillies tomorrow. The Mets, first-place Mets, are back in Queens tonight hosting the San Diego Padres. Jacob deGrom on the mound for the Mets tonight. There is a story in today's New York Post. They'll be paying attention to Jacob because he seems to go to his belt before his glove in this era of, oh, my God, pitchers are cheating. And finally, Jets. Yes, we're going to hear from the new head coach right now, Robert Saleh. OTA's going on. And how does the kid out of BYU, the first-round quarterback, Zach Wilson, look?
There's going to be so much more to learn, and your best learning comes through adversity and conflict. And obviously OTAs, everything's been feel good. It's been everyone's excited about everything that's happening around the organization. But until we actually hit adversity, will we be able to learn more about each other and how we handle things?
Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out today at peerlessboilers.com and paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports at 15:45, I'm Sid.
5:47, traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Jeff Frome.
Well, good news at the Verrazano Bridge. If you're heading into Brooklyn this morning, they have cleared away overnight construction and reopened the lower deck, so the earlier delays seem to be easing out coming in off the Staten Island Expressway. And once you get into Brooklyn, there is a little bit of stop-and-go coming up the inbound Gowanus. It's not a big backup at this point. And then some more delays in between the Prospect and Battery Tunnel. Now, if you're thinking about the Throgs Neck Bridge into Queens this morning, you might want to think again. We've got a crash about mid-span. There is a right lane blocked and a lot of heavy traffic now coming down onto the bridge. Whitestone is a much better option. This report is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Whether it's offering curbside or next-day delivery for online orders on over 160,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities, when it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Jeff Fromm in the WABC Traffic Center.
Oh, my gosh, my computer is blasting something. Sorry. Hold on. Let me turn it off.
What is it?
Every time I put on CNN, it blasts. And I turn my I turned my thing down, but I guess it wasn't down enough. All right, coming up after the quick commercial message, we're going to tell you why people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Alex Jones are very likely psychopaths. This is Don't Shoot the Messenger. Don't Shoot the Messenger. It's a new study that breaks it down.
This is the WABC Early News.
Welcome back. Time now is 5:50. Let's get to your weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Today we're going to be having a nice, nice day. 72 degrees, sunshine and clouds mixed. Doesn't look like there is going to be any rain on the horizon, which is fantastic. Also looks pretty nice tonight as well. Saturday we're looking at cooler temperatures just a little bit. It's only going down 1 degree to 71 degrees for a high. We will have mostly cloudy skies early and then the sun will peak out by the afternoon. Sunday, jumping up to a balmy 75 degrees and lots of sun. Maybe sun in the morning, I would say, but then we'll have some clouds in the afternoon and maybe a stray shower or thunderstorm, depending on where you live. And Monday, isolated thunderstorms in the morning, but the sun should come out later on in the afternoon. Currently, the temperature in Huntington is 56 degrees.
An Idaho dog has been found safe after a car crash ejected the pup from a window.
Oh.
Good Samaritans had been searching and keeping an eye out for the 2-year-old border collie mix named Tilly since Sunday. Tilly survived the crash unharmed, but not unfazed. After running away from the crash site, Tilly was lost for days. After Tuesday morning, Tilly showed up on a family farm and was returned safely to a local deputy who had already been out searching for the dog. Tilly is said to be safe and enjoying his days curled up on his favorite couch at home.
Well, you may be a flat earther. You may be a climate change denier. You may be an anti-vaxxer. And potentially you also may have dark personality traits. There's a scientist, actually a psychologist at the University of Oregon, who has linked the tendency to believe in conspiracy theories with what is known in psychology as the dark tetrad. This essentially, it's a psychological theory that comprises 4 dark personality traits: narcissism, Machiavellianism, psychopathy, and sadism. And apparently, dark tetrad traits may be linked to believing in conspiracy theories, not because of the features that are unique to each of the traits, but because features that are shared among the traits, according to this study. So,
interesting.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Not judging, just saying. This is what this psych guy at the University of Oregon thinks.
Early voting for primaries opens tomorrow in New York City after last night's 8 Democrats vying to be the city's next mayor debated. Some candidates zeroed in on Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams' place of residence after questions arose as to whether he lives in New Jersey or Brooklyn. Maya Wiley also called out Controller Scott Stringer, claiming he recently published a report that could sabotage former Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia's reputation. He claimed it wasn't political since he had started the research in July of 2020, but Garcia sees it differently since Stringer recently released his findings.
Well, we are watching what is happening, anxiously awaiting seeing all of the information and seeing all of the, I don't know, escapades over at the G7. Now, if you've never been to Cornwall, the scene itself, the scenery, it's pretty stunning, I'm sure. Just what's happening with the G7 gathering and just the overall aesthetics of the entire area. It's very old school England. Although, as I mentioned previously, it's also considered the leading area when it comes to green technology in Britain, or at least one of the leading areas. So it makes sense in some ways why the string of fishing villages, these tiny little fishing villages and cobblestone streets and an historic castle are hosting the world's major leaders. Still, some have questioned the move and the choice. It certainly makes it's a little difficult for staff and other support. Most of the time, Frank, as you know, you'll have a summit in places that are close to big cities or that are easily accessible to big cities. I mean, to get to this area from London, it's like a 7-hour drive. It's not an easy place to get to. It's also a place that doesn't exactly have the most solid infrastructure. So a lot of folks are wondering why Boris Johnson did choose Cornwall. There is a theory. Insiders say the prime minister grew up in the area. He spent childhood holidays here with his grandmother and his dad, who was born in Cornwall. So perhaps maybe there's not only the green tech center attraction, but also a little nostalgia thrown in there as well.
Good for him. The B-49 bus that's been wedged in a Brooklyn brownstone since Monday is set to be removed today. The Department of Buildings says shoring has been put in place to keep the building from collapsing when the bus is finally taken out. The agency will send in a crew to tow away the bus around 10 a.m. More than a dozen people were injured after the driver lost control, which is still under investigation.
Let's do a little royal alert, shall we? Got a couple of them. Harry and Meghan just had their second child. I mean, they announced that they're taking 20 weeks off of parental leave. How wonderful would that be? They live in a gorgeous mansion on an incredible estate in a beautiful town on the cliffs, Montecito, California. So why are they talking about lawsuits again? Why Sussexes? Why Sussi? Apparently, the rebel prince is peeved over a BBC report that he didn't ask the Queen's permission to name his new daughter after her. Lilibet Diana is the baby's name, as you probably know. Lilibet, the name Queen Elizabeth has been called since she was a little princess. The law firm that reps Harry and Meghan allegedly sent a letter out to various entities suggesting the couple is not taking this BBC report lightly. So, in other words, watch it. Watch what you write. Ay, ay, ay.
That's for sure.
I mean, these two need to stop. They just need to focus on raising their kid.
Yes.
Enjoying California.
Nice.
And goodness sake.
Yes. The NYPD has gotten nearly 60 calls to Washington Square Park over the course of this week. The department took to Twitter yesterday saying the first calls came in last Saturday due to complaints of excessive noise, drug sales, and unruly groups. The NYPD says it was sent in to enforce New York City's Department of Parks new 10 o'clock curfew. Authorities say unknown individuals threw glass bottles and other objects at the officers, injuring one.
Well, there is a sickening tragedy that occurred in Afghanistan earlier in the week. Masked gunmen mowed down 10 innocent people in a horrific attack. It happened in the northern part of the country. The victims were working for a British mine clearing company championed by Prince Harry. Police say the killers attacked their victims as they slept, going bed to bed and at the Halo Trust camp in Afghanistan's Baghlan province shortly before 10 p.m. Tuesday. About 110 men from the local communities were working for the charity and had mostly just retired for the night. The organization's CEO says it was the worst attack in the history of the Halo Trust, which was founded in Kabul in the 1980s to help clear mines from war-torn communities. And as you know, Princess Diana was very, very active in the mine clearing. I mean, you see those iconic pictures of her. I believe she was in Serbia, if I'm not mistaken, wearing the hat and helping the people there, and trying to gain attention for this. And it's just an awful story. And Harry has carried that torch for his mom.
Well, that's very nice. Well, I mean, it's terrible, but it's nice.
Yeah.
5:57, traffic and transit on the 7s. In for Joe Nolan. Here's Jeff Fromm.
So they have cleared away that wreck at the Throgs Neck Bridge heading into Queens, but we are left with residual delays coming down off the Throgs Neck Expressway. And it looks like some folks opted for the Whitestone Bridge while that crash was being cleared away. So a little bit of volume now heading out of the Bronx into Queens via the Whitestone Bridge. The big jam in the Bronx, though, on the Bruckner this morning. It's westbound construction, couple lane shutdown from the Sheridan out towards 149th Street. And we do have some stop and go coming up the Van Wyck. Expect some northbound delays right around the Kew Gardens interchange. Also, one note in New Jersey, there is a northbound crash on the parkway right by exit 135. This report is sponsored by Rocket Mortgage. When you're ready to buy a new home and want a mortgage lender who can help you plan with certainty, Rocket can. Get personalized loan options, closing costs, and tax estimates all in real time. Rocket can. That's Rocket Mortgage. I'm Jeff Fromm in the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you, Mr. Fromm. From your Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, another quick check on the weather. Today is going to be 72 with sunshine and a mix of clouds as well. 71 degrees tomorrow with mostly cloudy skies early, then the sun comes out in the afternoon. Sunday looking good. Some sun in the morning with increasing clouds in the afternoon, and we may have a stray shower or thunderstorm. Potentially, potentially not. Monday looking nice, 74 degrees with a mix of clouds and sun. 62 in New York City.
New York City is a big museum city, so after the top of the hour, I'll tell you about one new museum that might be coming to New York, and it might attract a little bit of a different type of clientele than what you see at the Guggenheim or the Met. This is going to be very, very interesting, especially to some of our younger audiences or those who enjoy socializing from time to time.
Oh, interesting. That's right. I have a feeling I know what it is.
I don't know.
Also, the Westchester County DA is ordering a review into two police-involved shootings. WABC's Bob Brown is going to have that report coming up as well.
The Westchester County DA, will point out, is one of only three people that I'm aware of who has ever blocked me on Twitter. And seeing as how she's now the DA, I am strongly considering a lawsuit to force her to unblock me now that, as a New York State taxpayer, I am paying her salary.
Well, you are an American. This is apparently an American thing to do.
That's right.
Sue.
All right. Coming up in just 20 seconds, we'll have 77 seconds of news. Sid's got sports and a preview of the Bernie and Sid show to be continued.
Booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morrow. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
And I'm Juliet Huddy. Well, that was quick. Usually you do a little bit of, a little bit of a dance right off the top there.
Well, you want me to do a little bit
as
of
I that? Prepare myself? Yes, please do.
All right. Well, it's Friday, TGIF. Hopefully you have something fun planned this weekend. I will start my weekend off right by having cocktails with the Gracie Award-winning journalist I am lucky enough to co-anchor with each and every morning, the lovely and talented Juliet Huddy.
Thank you. You're very sweet. And you will also be going to the Talkers Conference at Hofstra.
Yes. There's some great panels. I'm looking forward to seeing Sid Rosenberg's panel, our program director, Dave Labrosi.
Yes.
He's on a panel. My friend Harry Hurley is speaking, Brett Winterbull. I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward to going. I'm not sure when I'm going to get to sleep, but that's okay. I'm excited nonetheless.
Well, the opportunity is open for you to stay at our house, including tonight afterwards, if you want to come out.
I booked
here.
A hotel room for tonight, but I could usually I get to sleep around 8 a.m. or so, but as it stands now, I'm probably not going to get to nap until around 2:30, 3 o'clock or so. So we'll see what happens.
Well, 2:30 or 3, why don't you just nap in the morning in your car?
Well, maybe I will do that. But
I think you should do that.
Maybe.
And then we'll meet. Let's meet at like 11 or something.
Well, I want to see the panels.
Well, yeah. I mean, but the panels go all day.
Right. That's true. All right. Well, we'll coordinate off air then.
Okay. Just make sure you're at my panel because I'm very nervous.
Of course I'll be there.
I'm only kidding. Before we get to traffic and the weather, apparently the Westchester County District Attorney's Office is ordering a review into two police-involved shootings. What is unusual about this, Frank, is that these shootings both date back nearly a decade. Let's go to WABC's Bob Brown.
DA Miriam Rocha.
Today we have appropriately higher expectations for scrutiny of police encounters with mentally ill and unarmed people.
The first incident involved 20-year-old DJ Henry, who was killed when officers shot at his moving vehicle in 2010. The second incident involved a former Marine who suffered from mental illness, 68-year-old Kenneth Chamberlain Sr., who was fatally shot during a confrontation with police inside his home while at times holding a knife. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Also, this was a story I teased at 5 o'clock. The former president has some words of advice for President Joe Biden as he makes his way into the meetings at the G7. President Trump says, don't fall asleep. He also had some words for Joe Biden to send on a message to give his warmest regards to Russian President Vladimir Putin. That is ahead of the two world leaders meeting. Again, the actual quote is, good luck to Biden in dealing with President Putin. Don't fall asleep during the meeting and please give him my warmest regards. He wrote in a statement.
Well, that's
and
very nice.
Biden and Putin are going to have their first meeting on Wednesday in Geneva, Switzerland.
The Times Square NYPD officer who helped rescue a 4-year-old girl who was shot last month is being promoted. Officer Alyssa Vogel has been promoted to detective. Her body camera video showed her wrap a tourniquet around the girl's leg before sprinting with the girl through the crowd to an ambulance. The girl and two other women were shot, are doing okay. The suspect, 31-year-old Farrakhan Muhammad, was charged with attempted murder.
Wow. There is a new TikTok trend to warn you guys about. It's called Pruffy. If you are on TikTok, you've probably seen it. Kids and adults are mixing protein powder, Frank, with strong coffee, mainly espresso, to create a cup of go-go-go-go-go-go-joe. You know, like, whoa, they really want to get really, really amped up. But the problem is it may be bad for you, really bad. Experts say a little of this in moderation probably won't hurt you. But if you're gulping this stuff down day after day, you could end up causing liver damage, brain damage, gastrointestinal problems. And one of the other big issues is, you know, having too much of some sort of vitamin or mineral like protein could block you from ingesting other vitamins and minerals that are necessary to keep you revved up and healthy. So I would suggest just skip this trend. Skip it. No profit for you.
Good advice indeed. 6:07, time for traffic and transit on the sevens. Here's Jeff Frum.
Well, I want to give a heads up for folks traveling down from Connecticut this morning. If you're coming down from the Westport area, we've got a big jam on 95 right now. There is a southbound crash involving a jackknife tractor trailer just prior to the Route 7 split. And you're looking at a 4-mile backup into the Southport area. So again, southbound side of 95, very heavy, heading down towards exit number 16 this morning. If you're in a car, head on over to the Merritt Parkway. That's moving very well into Westchester. Now, still a bit of residual volume at the Throgs Neck Bridge into Queens, but they have cleared away a crash about mid-span. In the Bronx, westbound Bruckner, it's very slow this morning. They've got construction knocking out two lanes from the Sheridan out towards 149th Street. And we're a bit slow here through Queens now. Some westbound volume building on the LIE into the fairgrounds, and that remains busy out to Woodhaven Boulevard. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic Center.
Thank you very much, Jeff, from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We're going to have a pretty decent next few days. The weekend looks pretty nice. We may have a stray shower or a thunderstorm here and there, but far more like we'll just have a mix of sun and then clouds and sun and clouds. Today we're looking at a high of 72, tomorrow 71. And by Saturday, yes, we will have sun in the morning. The clouds will start to increase during the afternoon, and that could bring us a stray shower or a thunderstorm. We may have some showers Saturday night going into Sunday. It doesn't look too bad. Monday morning also looks like we may have a chance of a thunderstorm, but it'll clear up eventually. And the current temperature right now in New York City is 62 degrees. I'm sorry, my my computer just crashed. Oh, I love this computer.
All right. Well, let me tell you what's going on here in New York City. New York City could be getting a new museum dedicated to its nightlife. The New York Office of Nightlife made the suggestion in a report yesterday, calling for the museum to highlight places that have shaped the city's after-hours past. Bar and club owners seem to like the idea. The office also suggested changing how complaints are reviewed and creating programs to help out do-it-yourself venues. But we'll see what happens.
There's an interesting story. It was reported by CNBC recently, but it raises a lot of questions about Fox News and the fate of Fox News. So, you know, Frank, I know that you're very familiar with this. Lachlan Murdoch is Rupert Murdoch, the head of the, you know, the entity, the dynasty. That he is the eldest son, Lachlan is. And then there's a younger son, James Murdoch, and then there are sisters. James Murdoch and the sisters are lean liberal. They lean to the left. And apparently, according to CNBC, James and his wife, who is unabashedly liberal, definitely left-leaning, definitely Democrat, have devoted quite a bit of their money into a nonprofit foundation, which then gave a chunk of the money to political groups, Democratic-leaning political groups, in the 2020 election cycle. Well, this is obviously making news because, of course, James Murdoch is the son of a man who pushes conservatism and also was really the head of Fox News, which was a very a vocal supporter of President Trump for quite a while. So the question is, what is going to happen when Rupert Murdoch passes away? Well, there are concerns now from the Fox folks that once he does pass, James and the sisters will have the control of essentially the estate and the company. Lachlan will be sort of the minority there, and Fox will eventually turn into a more central, centrist news organization. I just have a hard time believing that's going to happen, but we shall see. It's an interesting story.
You have a hard time because the audience doesn't want that, or because of why?
I just think that, you know, the whole point of launching Fox News, and this is why I was a supporter of Fox News and why I worked for Fox News for those years, Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch, well, at least Roger Ailes, felt that there was a need for the conservative voice to be heard. And so it wasn't supposed to be this right wing, you know, torch carrying crazy town. It was supposed to be a place where you would hear the conservative voice, because you wouldn't hear it necessarily as it just wasn't as ubiquitous on all the other channels, cable channels and news and regular networks. So, it makes a lot of money. Business, the bottom line, is making money. And so I just have a feeling that once they start to move Fox into the center, all of a sudden it's going to sort of commingle with the CNNs and the ABCs and NBCs, and you're going to lose a lot of viewers because of that. And where are those right-wing viewers going to go?
Well, I know the folks across the street from us at Newsmax TV have a pretty good idea of where they'd like them to go. We'll see what happens. New Jersey health officials are warning residents about the danger of ticks and Lyme disease. Yesterday afternoon, a group of concerned community members joined with Congressman Josh Gottheimer at the West Milford Environmental Center, urging families to take preventative measures. New Jersey has one of the highest rates for Lyme disease in the country, and lawmakers are pushing legislation that would allocate several federal resources to families dealing with it.
I love this story. This just cracks me up. So there is this gay couple that lives in Wisconsin. They've lived in their house for quite a few years. It's in one of these, you know, communities where you have the home organization and so on and so forth. But this couple has created an online buzz with a social media post explaining why they fought back when they were told by their neighborhood organization that displaying flags outside homes was not going to be allowed anymore. The only flag you're going to be allowed to fly is the American flag. In this post, they said that their local housing association imposed restrictions on displaying flags like Black Lives Matter, thin blue lines, you know, supporting the police, and other opinion flags, including the pride flag. So they said they decided they were going to do something about it. I think it's quite clever. They actually, instead of flying the flag, they took the flag down, their gay pride flag, and they instead lit up their house in floodlights that are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple.
Wow.
Colors of the rainbow. I don't think they're going to be doing this all year long. I think they're just doing it for Pride Month, but good for them. They came up with a clever option.
A street is being named in honor of comic book legend Stan Lee in the Bronx in New York City. The new street is called Stan Lee Way. Lee, who died in 2018, created and co-created such popular superheroes as Spider-Man, Iron Man,
Spider-Man.
Thor, the Fantastic Four.
Spider-Man is what he said.
Spider-Man gets Panther,
Pizzeria, Spider-Man.
And the Hulk. While he was born in the Bronx, Lee lived on Long Island for decades.
Spider-Man.
Right.
Spider-Man.
Well, look, you know,
Spider-Man. He's not a min. What is a min?
Well, look.
Is a min some sort of new creation? Is it a mix between spiders and man? Spider-Man?
No, it's like, you don't say Goldman or Silverman. You don't say Goldman, Silverman. It's Goldman.
Got you there again.
Right? You don't
Shut
say,
up, Frank.
You don't say Sid Rosenberg. Sid Rosenberg.
You say Sid Rosenberg. No, you just say Sid.
Exactly.
Just say
6:15, Sid's got sports.
Good morning, Frank and Juliet. The Nets had a chance to take a 3-0 commanding lead in their big series against Milwaukee Bucks as they edge closer to the NBA Finals. It was a brutal game last night. The two teams combined for less than 170 points. In the end, the hometown Bucks did edge out a victory, beat the Nets 86-83. This despite 30 points from Kevin Durant. This one was ugly, lots of bricks, but Nets player Kyrie Irving said, kind of a throwback game.
They made some big timely shots, which carried them forward. But we had our chances down the stretch. It was a possession by possession game. You know, both teams battling. So that's a good old fashioned playoff game right there.
Again, even with the loss, the Nets lead the Bucks in this series 2-1. Out west last night, the top seed Utah Jazz beat the Clippers 117-111. That series has the Jazz up 2-0 on the Clippers. Baseball last night, a brutal loss for the Yanks. They had a chance to sweep all three in Minnesota against the Twins. They got to the ninth with a 2-run lead, and the usually very reliable Aroldis Chapman imploded, gave up not one but two home runs. The Twins scored 4 in their home half of the ninth and beat the Yankees 7-5. This despite a red-hot Giancarlo Stanton hitting his 12th home run of the year. Here was Yankee skipper Aaron Boone after this crushing defeat.
Geo stings a couple balls in the gap. Same with DJ. So frustrating that we couldn't add on, especially with the quality of bats we're having. But no question, this one stings, and we got to get past it.
Yankees fell to 33-30. They're in third inside the American League East. They are off today. They start a series in Philadelphia against the Phillies tomorrow. The Mets are back at it tonight in Queens. First place Mets taking on San Diego. Jacob deGrom on the mound for the Mets with Sid Rosenberg and Bill O'Reilly in attendance. There you have it, folks. The Nets lose a game three, and the Islanders are set to take on Tampa Bay for the right to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. They do build America's best boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Sid.
617 with traffic. Here's Jeff.
Taking a look at the ride over on the east side, we've got a couple issues working right now. Two crashes, one on the FDR Drive. It's a northbound wreck at 79th Street. And there's also a southbound wreck on the Harlem River Drive heading down towards 155th Street. So a little bit of stop and go coming in off the GWB. Inbound, George, you're fine on both decks. In fact, across the Hudson this morning, very light traffic into the city. Although a word of warning, if you're coming down from Connecticut, southbound delays on 95, bumper to bumper for at least a four-mile stretch. There is a jackknife tractor trailer heading down to exit 16. That's into the Westport area. This report is sponsored by Rocket Mortgage. Get personalized loan options, closing costs, and tax estimates all in real time. When you need your mortgage to fit your family and budget, Rocket can. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. That's Rocket Mortgage. I'm Jeff Fromm from the WABC Traffic Center.
From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we are going to have a lovely day today. It looks like sunshine and clouds mixed. High of 72. Tomorrow, 71 with mostly cloudy skies early. Then sun coming out in the afternoon. Sunday, 75 degrees. Showers coming in, and Monday we'll have some showers in the morning, probably clearing up throughout the day. Currently, it's 62 in New York.
Well, there is quite a bit happening financially, including the International Monetary Fund warning about the risks of using Bitcoin for everyday transactions after El Salvador approved the cryptocurrency for day-to-day transactions. The IMF made the warning as it decides whether to approve another relief package for El Salvador as the Central American nation struggles to recover from the coronavirus pandemic. An IMF spokesman told reporters on Thursday the crisis lender has called attention to significant risks posed by digital currencies and that it's important to have effective regulation in place. Again, if you're interested in cryptocurrency or digital currency, I do encourage you to listen to the podcast of Brock Pierce on the Cats at Night program yesterday as he was explaining to Tony Carbonetti and John Catsimatidis exactly how cryptocurrency works. And Apple's latest hire shows the technological giant is working towards competing with other electric car makers. Apple confirmed yesterday they hired Ulrich Kranz, a former senior executive at BMW who led the company's electric car development. Kranz will report to Doug Field, who worked on the development of Tesla's Model 3 and now runs Apple's car project. The project, known as Project Titan, has been restructured several times since it was first announced in 2014. Several reports show Apple's electric car launch is probably at least 5 years away.
Thank you, Frank. And Sydney, let's talk about what's happening in your life. So you have mentioned many times that you will be on the panel today, this afternoon at the Talkers Convention, which is going to be exciting. I'll see you there. You will be appearing on Wendy Williams this morning, which you taped yesterday.
Right.
You will be at a baseball game with some dude tonight.
Right.
That's after you stop by the after reception.
I'm exhausted. Am I doing all this?
Yes. Really? You said yesterday that you were stopping by.
Frank,
you cannot bring the person that you're going with. I'm sorry.
No, I know that.
Well, I don't think Sid,
I would not do
happening.
That to you. I know I love you, Julia.
I don't think Sid realized that it was as late as it is. So
yeah.
We may just see Sid at the reception,
right,
not the post-reception.
Yeah, because the first pitch
in
Queens is like 7 o'clock
right,
and your reception
exactly.
is at 6:30.
Well, we could watch the game at the barn.
Right.
Too.
But, yeah, I got a lot going on. I must say that the Wendy thing was great. I'm sure you know this one lady, Juliet, Bevy Smith, is that her name? Bevy Smith, big XM Sirius, E Channel, great lady, a lot of fun. Some young, podcaster, I guess. She was the other guest. And Wendy was just great. It was a lot of fun. And you can watch it this morning at 10 o'clock locally on Channel 5, 3 o'clock locally on Channel 9. And it was a radical departure from what you hear me talking about with Bernard every day.
And,
Kardashians and
and
some rapper who is his wife is about to have a baby, but they're getting divorced. She doesn't want him inside the delivery room. I mean, these were the discussions we were having yesterday, but it was a blast. I was there for about 4 hours. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is definitely your wheelhouse. I mean, I know that you were just chomping at the bit to talk about the Kardashians, to talk about reality programming, to hang out with Wendy, because she is awesome. So, good for you. I'm glad.
Thank you.
Glad.
It was a lot of fun. So, check that out coming up later on this morning. Now, on the Bernie and Sid show coming up, you know, we're excited about this guy. Frank doesn't seem to be nearly as excited, but we don't like Phil Murphy. That's the bottom line. No big surprise. We don't like Phil Murphy. So, this guy, Jack Cittarelli, won the Republican side, the primary, a couple of days ago. We are fervently endorsing Jack because we just want Murphy out of there. So Jack is going to join us coming up at 7:40 this morning. This was a guy, Juliet and Frank, Frank knows this too, that was a never-Trumper. But much like me, I was also a never-Trumper. I voted for Hillary. I came around. I voted for Trump in 2020. So did Jack. So Jack will join us coming up at 7:40. And to be honest, he is the only hope for what usually is a great state, New Jersey. The only hope. So he'll join us at 7:40. Then at 8:40, Greg Kelly is going to come by. I was on Greg's show last week, so now he's going to come on with me and Bernard. And then we'll talk to Lauren Conlon coming up at 9:25 to our entertainment report for the week.
Well, that's some show. Greg Kelly, Lauren Conlon, and Jack Cittarelli all in one show.
Why do you call him Cittarelli if his name is Cittarelli?
Well, he pronounces it Cittarelli.
How do you know that?
Well, because
does he go to a pizzeria?
you can ask him, do you pronounce it Cittarelli or Cittarelli? See, in Italian, the C-I makes a ch
right,
sound.
Right.
Yeah, but here's,
right.
Yeah, like Civitavecchia. But here's the thing. As you sent me an email, Frank, and I think he sent this to you too, Sid.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw this.
Sid ignores most of my.
Somebody was saying. Somebody wrote and said, you know, it's pizzeria. That's the way the Italian Americans say it. And I'm like, that's exactly the point. It's not mutz. It's mozzarella. It's not pasta fazool. It's pasta fagioli. That's the way the Italians say it.
You're
they mock Italian Americans for saying it like that.
I hear you. Okay. Saying rigotto.
The point is, you don't live in Sicily. You don't live in Rome. You live on Staten Island.
This is true.
Say sometimes, it however you want.
Sometimes that's a distinction that is difficult to make.
Listen, but when you go to Italy, you kind of have to say it the way the Italians say it. Otherwise, they're like, tourist, American. Here
well,
we
you're right about
when
that.
When it comes to names, though, right. I do generally defer to how they pronounce it. And Cittarelli pronounces it Cittarelli.
Well, then if he says it that way, then that's the way it is.
Right, so that's
if Mama's going to call him Cassius Clay, you're going to be Cassius Clay.
Sid, tomorrow, early voting starts in New York City. You're a registered Republican. You're going to be voting tomorrow?
I am going to be voting tomorrow, yes.
All right.
And you know who I'm voting for, so don't even...
All right, well, good.
Yeah. Who do you think I'm voting for?
Well, I'm hoping you'll vote for Curtis.
No, Maya Wiley. No, Curtis has my vote, so I'll be out there tomorrow. And have a great weekend. The weather sucks. You know, I got to say this. I put down some money at a beach club on Long Island because I wanted to go to the beach all summer long. So you only have a certain amount of weekends, Juliet, you know, during the summer to enjoy the beach club. It was a lot of money. And this weekend is basically shot. And that's all
Why?
I can think about is if I put money down to join some club and I can't use it over the weekend,
wait, what are you talking
about? Some of my money back.
It's going to be nice this weekend.
No, it's not. 70 degrees. It's going to be
75 degrees and sunny.
No,
rain.
It's cloudy and 70.
Well, when you're on the beach, I mean, I'm talking about the city. Yeah, the beach, that's a little chilly, but
right,
you know.
Right, you can't go in the water when it's 65 degrees on the beach. Can't do it. So anyway, I'm pissed.
Well, next weekend, I'm sure it's going to be much better.
All right.
Catch Sid on the Wendy Williams show today at 10 a.m. on Channel 5 and then a little later in the afternoon on Channel 9 as well. And a big thank you to Peerless Boilers for making this Bernie and Sid preview possible. They're very good in the tankless water heater game. So,
so Frank, I will be seeing you. What time?
I am.
Are we going to meet there? Are we going to?
Well, I'm going to be there all day. So just give me a holler whenever you want to. Whenever you want to get there, and we'll hang out.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go after the
The Big O.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely go after that one, and I'll be meeting up with Heather, my agent, so you can come. We'll all maybe sit together.
That'd
be fun.
Wonderful.
But then it's after that O'Reilly thing. Then it goes to something else, and then it goes to lunch.
Yeah, all right.
So kind of like, maybe I should just go after lunch.
Right, or you can come and we can have lunch together.
Yeah, we can hang out together.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Well, we are just about out of time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Yes.
And I'm sure I'll see some of you at the Food Truck Festival on Staten Island this week. Rumor has it Mayor Giuliani may even be making an appearance this week. So we'll see.
And, at the Food Truck Festival?
That's the rumor. That's the rumor. Hope people go out and vote, whether you're Democrat or Republican. Early voting starts tomorrow. Have a great weekend.
Bye,
I'll see you later, Juliet.
All right.